I'm going to stand up only because I'm fat, and if I sit there too long, okay, well, never mind. All right, I'm an ex-con. J66997 is my state of California ID. 4919455 is my California ID, or Oregon ID. And I tell you that only for one reason. I was in the same boat a lot of our family is in here. But see, I had issues, man. I had humility issues. I had pride issues. I had all these issues in life, and I didn't understand that. You know, when you're involved with the courts, you're either going to humble yourself and stay and do what they say, or you're going to go out the next night and believe something else, and it still comes with trouble. Still comes with trouble. 12 and a half years ago, I made a commitment. I was holding my little baby. It was 1 year old, and I was holding her. And as I held that little child, I heard this voice in my head say, "I'm taking her." I'm like, "No, you ain't. Who's talking to me?" It was God talking to me. Because, see, I lived south side of town. I, you know, was still in the gang playing and drugs and alcohol. And I made a commitment right then and there to humble myself to Christ and start listening to a new life. That was at 10:20:05. So 12 and a half years, I learned a lot of things. But dude, some of us that were raised in abusive childhoods, you know, we had no structure. My stepfather was beating me from the time I was 3. I had my first drink alcohol at 7. I took my first Valium at 8. I went to a psychiatric hospital because I wanted to kill this stepfather I had. I lit a fire in the garage, and now they call me a pyromaniac, and they stuck me in a psychiatric hospital. And in this psychiatric hospital, they did this shock treatment stuff. They lay you down on a metal table, strap you down, put this thing in your mouth, and bolt you. And they did that for a long time. And so I had met this little brother named Jerome. He came in, and as Jerome came into the program, it always cracked me up, dude. It does today. They put us in a van, and they take us down to this park. And they let you play little kid games, you know, swings and all this stuff. But as we go to that park, Jerome goes, "Hey, that's where my grandma lives." And as we passed that house all the time, I noticed, well, Jerome got released, and I ran away from the psychiatric hospital to Jerome's house. Knocked on the door, he lets me in, and when I walked in this room, what I noticed was these pictures on the wall of this dude hanging on a cross, this long hair, and it says, "Jesus loves you," and this, that, and the other. And I'm like, "Jerome, what's all this about?" He goes, "You don't know Jesus?" And I'd never heard the words Jesus before. And I was like, "No." He goes, "Oh, my grandmother loves Jesus. She's a prayer warrior." Grandma called the psychiatric hospital and they arrested me. I hated Jesus. At 16 years old, I had this little girl in my life that had become like one of my solid rocks in life. She listened to me. She didn't judge me. She just always was there for me. She was on one side of the street. I was on the other in West Covina, California. And we were going to go to this theater behind me. And as she ran across the street, she got hit by a car and killed. Where's your Jesus? Where was this God? I became very angry and bitter, dude. I joined the Air Force. Love the Air Force, Bob, just so you know. And the first thing that happened on this bus was this dude right here in my face screaming at me. Attention, all this stuff, dude, and I hated the Air Force. But I knew that you could kill people and not go to prison. That didn't last very long. There was no war when I was in the Air Force. I got out and joined the Gypsy Jokers Motorcycle Club as family. I became an enforcer for a drug cartel all the way from the Mexican border all the way up to the coast of Alaska, all the way up and down. And I didn't care if you were in that house with your little kids, if you owed money, I collected. I didn't care about anybody in any way, shape, or form. As a matter of fact, I became numb to life. I was so prideful that I was the best. They even nicknamed me the Pit Bull. I didn't care about people, places, or things. I got out of prison after killing a man, shot him, didn't care. But I moved to Indiana because, see, I could tell you the whole story of how that all happened, but we're talking about humility tonight. Well, when you don't even know who God is, and you've never had a family, you don't know what humility is. You don't know how to be humble, but you can be prideful. You can be all about you. I was so proudful, I had it tattooed on my arm. I was number one, me. But see, when I moved to Indiana here, I met this dude. His name was Wyatt Mullinex. And I had parole violated. They got this club over here somewhere up north there, Pierre's Club. Pierre's Club. I love Pierre's Club. I'd go in there, dude. And they had this one, I think it was country bar here. It's been a while. And a rap bar or something on this side. I don't remember. But as I walked through there one night to go outside, I bumped into somebody. And all Hades broke loose. Dude, the fight was on. Violated my parole. So they were going to interstate me back to the West Coast to do my parole violation. However, I thought, aha, I'm going to take anger management classes on my own. So I met Wyatt in these anger management classes. And it started my journey to where I am now. I started realizing that somebody cared. He asked me to go to church one day. And I looked at him and said, with all them hypocrites, all them backstabbers, all them liars and thieves and all that. And he goes, you'll fit right in. What are you talking about, Willis? You know? I said, I ain't going down there, dude. It ain't happening. So several months into this little program, you know, he said, hey, having a picnic at Foster Park. I said, that's my namesake, dude. I can go to a park, man. They're going to feed me. Hey, dude, I'll tell you, being a Christian, you get fat. Okay, you get healthy. So we go down to this park, and what I realized immediately was I was no longer a state ID number. I was no longer J66997 or 4919455. I was Donnie Foster. And it was like, I can do this. I've been at Westview Alliance Church now for 18 years. But see, I still had issues. I still had to learn how to be humble. I had to learn what humility was. I had to learn that I was prideful. I thought, dude, man, I'm inadequate. And I had to get to a place in my life that God would humble me. We all have to get to a place in life where God will humble us. It's not about my story. It's about God in my story. It's about how God can take the broken and make the beautiful. My sister said something about smelling bread. I have this saying, smell the roses, blow out the candles. But we had to be teachable. My wife taught me how to write stuff down, dude, because I lose track. I'm like, squirrel, over here. So I will read off of some of this just for time constraint because, dude, she writes pretty good. And I don't want to let it go down. It was through a series of these issues that God began to humble me. I learned humility by realizing my inadequacies through my mistakes, understanding that I am not in control. Did you hear me now? We're not in control. And by surrendering my life to Christ, piece by piece, I learned humility was by sitting under the scrutiny and criticism and applying it to my life. Wyatt Mullinex is amazing, but he ain't no chump. That boy will tell you the truth with love and continue to love you, but dude, you can't fool that boy. Believe me, I tried. I tell you, I've been there for 18 years at Westview Alliance and I'm sober for 12 and a half. Uh-oh. Yeah, baby. Here's how I look at that. When we come to God, we're like hog farmers. We come to God and we say, okay, God, take all our hogs. Take them all, man. Our porn, our anger, our hate, our resentment. Start sweeping the house. And as we sweep, oh, right there in the corner is this little piglet. You know, the cute little piglet you could pick up and hold. And you just pet that little piglet. That little piglet could be smoking weed. It could be, oh, I'm just looking at porn once a week. Whatever that little piglet is becomes a massive hog in our lives again. And we have to understand that when we come to God and when we come to a newness in our lives, dude, piglets and all got to go. All of it has to go. And we have to humble ourselves in front of Jesus and say, hey, dude, I'm a sinner. I need help. I need direction. I need the courts to put that pressure on me. They got to hold me accountable. Brother, it wasn't nothing but God that did what he did to you. I hate to say it like that, but he did, because you weren't ready. And you know what? You could have died tomorrow. So don't hate me. Smell the rose and blow out the candle. I found that humility is not thinking less of myself, but thinking of myself less. I used to think like this: people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You can preach. I do a ministry on these streets out here to homeless. I go into Hope Court, Drug Court, Reentry Court, wherever court they'll allow me in, which is pretty cool. They even let me in the county jail. I don't even have to post bail and get back out. They give me a little badge that says chaplain. I'm like, you go, God. Who would ever thought? Oh, did I even tell you that part? But last time before I got back here, I was facing 104 years to life. Did I tell you that part? Oh, no, I must have just missed that. I was a three-strike habitual offender by God. In fact, we're just a vapor in the wind. Do you ever think about that? God's word says he's with his nostrils, and it was. He breathed it. We're just that far from the smoking section or the non-smoking section. That's it. My life is here one day and gone the next. I have no more value than anyone else. Because see, we're all created in whose image? Christ. There ain't nobody better. There ain't nobody worse. A sin's a sin. You know, I see up there, God, I say, God goes, oh, your sin's bigger than your sin. No. If you sin with your eyes, your mouth, your hands, it's no different than what the other guy did. But we got to learn. We all fall short of the glory of God. I need him to give me my strength. I rely on him for every breath I take. My power ain't in me no more. Enforcing, taking lives, that ain't strength. Strength's getting on my knees. Strength's telling the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I'm just your servant. I need you today. I need you, Lord, to do things in my life. I can't do anything without him. Nothing. Nothing. Realizing and accepting that is humility. Knowing my condition and importance. It's not about position or fame or success or wealth. It's about bowing before the King, surrendering everything I am to him and for his service. It means being courteously respectful and thinking of others as better than myself. Humility is a required. It's required. It's a position and a choice. to be humble. If you think you are humble, you're probably not. Psalm 138:6. Though the Lord is great, he cares for the humble. But he keeps his distance from the proud.
You don't understand what I go through. You don't understand what I've been through.
Really? Really? Psalm 149:4 says, "For the Lord delights in his people. He crowns the humble with victory." Dude, it isn't about getting things physically. I had all the money, I had all the cars, I had all the dope, I had all that stuff. But I didn't have hope. I didn't have Christ. I had nothing. I was empty, hateful, bitter. I had an 8-year-old little boy, 8-year-old son I walked away from for the dope gang, bikers. This is how loving God is. Now, I know I don't look it, but I just turned 60 on March 9th. I know I look 59, but it's okay. But you're laughing at David. I don't know where you're staying. No, I'm kidding. These are my boy. Now, okay, I got you. 62. October of 2017, I started the job as the director of the Hobson House program. I put my heart and my life into my brothers that are in this room right now. Everything I had and believed in, into these guys. My son contacted me on Facebook. Facebook's pretty amazing. I didn't realize people could watch what you're doing without you watching them knowing what you're watching them. I'm like, spies. But anyway, he said, "Hey, Dad, I'm struggling. Can you help me out? My son has been in Fort Wayne, Indiana, till today. He's still in this town, clean and sober. He hit these streets on October 24th, the day after I started at the Hobson House. And he's seen what I do, but you guys made a difference in what he does today. You guys showed him how it was, but I got blessed with a 16-year-old granddaughter and a 2-year-old granddaughter. My birthday was March 9th, and I went and I speak for Bill Glass Prison Ministries, and I ride my bike all over the country, and we go inside the walls now and ride around there and make noise, and they come out and they kick it with us, and we tell them about God. So I'm sitting there a week before, because we were speaking on March 9th in Dayton, Ohio. And I'm sitting there in my chair, and I got all the family, all my kids sitting in the front room, and they're like, "Dad, we're going to give you your birthday present because we know you're not going to be here." And I'm looking at everybody going, what are you up to? And as I'm looking, I hear a noise behind me. I turned around and looked, and my 32-year-old daughter, that I met once in my life, was standing in my kitchen. I got reunited with my kids. I had all 5 of my kids in my kitchen this year. I've now got so many grandkids, I don't know what I'm going to do for Christmas. There's a gang of them. Send them all a Walmart card and tell them have a good day. But I tell you that because of this. If you think that there's no hope, humble yourself. Redirect your breath and your prayer to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he will give you the desires of your heart. My little girl that's 13, I have 3 other grandkids with her. I was like, dang, man. I have a lot of grandkids now. And I know I don't look that old, but it's okay. What are you laughing at? Ephesians 4:2, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. James 4:6, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Dude, there's nothing I could have ever done to put me in a place where God will put me. It ain't about me speaking here. It's about God speaking here and giving hope. You know, when I go into these county jails or I go into these prisons, I see broken. But I can say, hey, let me explain something to you. There's a master craftsman that can put you back together, and his name's Jesus Christ. He has the authority. He has the ability. He has the love. He has the mercy to take our prideful lives and humble ourselves before Jesus. First Peter says, all of you should be of one mind. Sympathize with each other. Love each other as brothers and sisters. Be tender-hearted and keep a humble attitude. You younger men, accept the authority of the elders. Like that guy right there, those two. Had to get something out of them guys over here. And all of you serve each other in humility, for God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. I had a hard heart. I was raised with a very hard heart, and I was soft-skinned. Anything you said offended me, and I'd either take it up this way or whatever other way I could. But see, God changed that, and he gave me a soft heart and tough skin. I don't care what people think anymore. That doesn't offend me. I wonder what people thought of him when they spit on him and they crucified him. And they stabbed him in the side. And they offered him that nasty drink. He was thinking of us when they did that to our King of Kings. So why am I tough skin? Because I want to be the hands and feet of Jesus. That's our goal. That's our passion. That's what we need to do. Luke 18:14, those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Dude, this is in his word. I just get blessed to be able to read. But why do I know it's there? Because I read. This thing falls apart. Why? Because I don't. Meaning I open it, I use it, I read it, I live it, I smell it, I breathe it. Not because I'm any different, but because, see, if you don't know what these pages say you're capable of, what are you capable of? And if you don't like doing it, turn around and go right back to the vomit. Turn right around. Satan's right there. He's pissed, man. He's mad. I'm a sinner. I don't do porn. I don't do dope, and I don't drink, but I'm a sinner. I go fast. Ooh, I like to go fast, dude. And if somebody gets right in front of me, I hate it. Ooh, God, I hate it.
See?
Ah! Oh, yeah. I get on my bike. Oh, man, it's loud. Man, maybe. I had to pick a sin. I pick speed. I love it. Yeah, the gas pedal speed, family. But I get on my bike, and I buzz. Womp, womp, womp. And loud. Makes a lot of noise. You know, I love that. But I got a 13-year-old little girl sitting next to me yesterday. My daughter. My baby. And I got right up on that car's bumper, and she said, Dad. I said, what? She said, he could have just lost his wife or something. Because, see, she hears what I say. She hears what I say. And she's heard me say many a times, they must be on their way to a funeral, as slow as they're going, you know, or something of that nature. But she's telling me this. Slow down. Smell the roses. Blow out the candles. Matthew 11:29. Red letters. I love this part. Who's speaking in the red letters in the Bible?
Jesus.
Hello. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. So, dude, if Jesus is humble, really? Are we better than him? Dude, I'm not even worthy to stand in his shadow. But yet he said, you are. He said, I created you in my image to be humble, not proud. Philippians 2:3-8. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Thinking of others is better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. I know what it's like to be at 417 South Calhoun. I know what it's like to be in Westfield. I know what it's like. I was in Corcoran, Pelican Bay, Folsom, and San Quentin. Some of the roughest prisons on the West Coast. So who better to walk in there and tell them there's hope? Check this one out. Bill Glass Prison Ministry showed up on the yard out there in the 80s or something like that. And I heard all these motorcycles, you know. And I'm like, dude, we get broke into or what? I was on the block. I looked out there, seeing all these motorcycles running around our prison yard. I'm like, this is weird. Didn't know Jesus. Didn't even know anything about these Christian fellowship crews that come in. And I go out there, and here's these guys, they're like hollering over their loudspeakers, whatever, whatever. And I seen this dude up there, I'm watching from way back there on the yard, you know how us cool guys are. Man gets fans. And he takes a hot water bottle. Now, older guys know what a hot water bottle is. It's one that, you know, you put hot water in it and you lay it on your owie, okay? He says, blow this pug up like huge, and it pop, boom! I'm like, ain't nothing. Then he takes this piece of solid iron, 2 inches around, and he gets two of the biggest dudes on the yard and says, bend it, pull it, do it. And this dude's everybody, rah. Dude, this dude on their team, bent it. And I was like, pretty impressive, but check this out, dude. Last year, I get a phone call and says, hey, can you come down to Westville? I'm like, what's in Westville? And they go, hey, man, I want you to meet these guys with Bill Glass Prison Ministry. And I'm like, huh? And all of a sudden, everything starts coming back to me. They're blowing up the same hot water bottle and popping it. And now they don't use the metal bars. They use a horseshoe and bend it in the shape of a heart. See, they didn't change. I changed. And I've been going with Bill Glass now for a little over a year. Why? Because I believe. I believe in something that they kept doing, and that was spreading the word of Jesus. Who better to do it but a donkey? In the Old Testament, Balaam's like smacking him, don't you see? That donkey turns around and Jesus spoke through a donkey.
Amen.
So why wouldn't he use this donkey in 2018 to talk? He will. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality to God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in the human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. For me and you, for us, not only us in this room, but our past us's, today us's, and our tomorrow us's. I'm certainly not perfect in the area of humility. I continue to learn every day. Every day. I got to get up and make a choice. Nowadays, I by making the right choice. I get up, I dress up, and I show up every day with a plate. And I take that plate to my desk, and I set it down right there. And I say, Lord, let's get it, baby. And I open it up, and I start reading what he has for me today in my devotion. And then I get on my internet, because the internet's cool. I like that. My little 13-year-old showed me how to use a smartphone. I thought it was stupid. And I got a devotion on it. And I pray. I say, God, what are you putting on that plate today? What do you want me to eat today? Losing my job with these guys, it was a mutual split. We'll put it that way. Different directions. Doesn't mean I quit loving on my family. I'll meet them wherever they're at. I still got love for my family. But God's got a new ministry opportunity somewhere, somehow, some way for him. Obviously, I went without food. Lights are still on. I drove. I must have had gas in the vehicle. Because, see, whatever he puts on that plate tonight, just like biscuits and gravy, take that last little bite of biscuit, wipe my plate off, and I'll eat it, and I'll be done. Tomorrow morning, I'll get up, dress up, and show up with a plate. Say, God, what do you want on that plate today? I continue to learn every day, but I have chosen today to position myself under God's mighty hand, recognizing that he is God, and I am not. We should live with confidence, but not self-confidence. Our confidence should come from the sufficiency of Christ. In Christ alone. James 4, 13, 16. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. I get that stuff right out the Bible. I can't make this stuff up, man. I just get blessed to preach it up. Because, see, if it makes a difference to the one here tonight, he's glorified. If we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he's glorified. Because, see, as I walked into the courthouse today, I heard sirens, and I was walking with another guy, and we walked in, I looked over, and they were pulling into Fryman Square over there. Another one bit the dust. Another overdose, right there, at 1:30 today. Satan took him back. But Jesus stands at the door and knocks. He's not a bully, he's not a burglar. We have to open the door and let him in. Then he too will be glorified in all we say and do. So family, that's my thought on humility. If you think you're humble, probably not. But if you're living for Jesus and you're doing his will, Father, right now, I pray for that family today, Lord. Lord, I pray for all of us that are struggling with something. Whether it's addiction, whether it's anger, whether it's resentment, whether it's pride. Thank you for being who you are in our lives. Tonight, Lord, as we go home, may we just be still, be quiet, and be about hearing the Father's voice say, good job. Get some rest. Tomorrow I'll be busy again. We love you. I pray for each and every one of my family here tonight, Lord. I pray for them, those that are struggling, that they just press in. Press into the one who can help, the one who can save, the one who can redirect, the one that loves us unconditionally. For the glory of the Lord is our strength. Together all God's people said, amen. Amen.